Welcome with Vox on the Vox the Psychic Show on Internet Radio. You can reach me by writing to me at vox@vox.org. You can also, to be on the show today, you can give me a call at 323-284-5166. So give us a call over here at 323-284-5166. That's the line where you can reach me and call into the show, and we can actually chat, and you can ask me whatever you like about anything you like. Past, present, future, living, dead, animal, human, mineral, vegetable, mineral, whatever the hell. Guaisha magic, spirit, spells, witchcraft, what have you. That's my raison d'etre. All you poor little Sagittarians, like, you know, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, the more famous Sagittarians like Brad Pitt, people like that. Why do I pity them? Because today, the full moon is in their exact opposite sign, meaning like all hell breaks loose, basically. So you can pretty much guess that Gemini, Miss Angelina Jolie, is probably throwing a vase at Brad Pitt's head right about now for some reason or the other. And we all know what's going on with Britney. I don't even think we need to comment about that, quite frankly. But anyway, we're going to move along, and I'm going to check out some different stuff in the news and clarify some answers for people that have taken the time to drop me some letters recently. So you may wonder, who the hell is this Vox person? Well, I would venture to guess a lot of you people have already heard me from my show way back in the 90s when I had my own show on KLSX. And that was really fun. I used to open up for Howard Stern, and it was pretty crazy situation every night for about 3 hours. And so once I'm sure everybody starts getting the word out that I'm back on the airwaves, we'll pretty much, you know, take over the airwaves with our occult magical powers, which is pretty much what I want to do anyway. But anyway, so we're going to move along right now and talk about maybe some other things that are going on in the news, like such as, what kind of things could be happening in our town? Like, oh, California is burning down as we speak with the Santa Ana winds. And apparently, I just saw a headline from the LA Times where the fire had actually already reached inside people's houses. So I really feel bad for everybody that's being negatively affected by that. But, you know, full moon of Gemini always happens around this time of year. Fast, quick winds. All right? Sound like that Santa Ana winds could have any kinds of thing to do with Gemini moon? I would suspect so. And every year it's a pretty much the same thing over and over again. And why would these kind of Santa Ana winds hit up so hard in the time of Sagittarius? Well, Sagittarius is a fire sign. And Jupiter just entered the fire sign of its own rulership, Sagittarius. And when that happens, basically, there's going to be more of everything. Jupiter is in his big-ass party house, the ninth house, his natural house of rulership. Foreign affairs, traveling, higher learning, spirituality, which is pretty much like about a week after Jupiter entered Sagittarius, I decided, hey, what the hell, go back on the air. And I had a wonderful friend, Mr. B, who has manifested that reality for me, so here I am. So these kinds of Jupiterian ideas, ruling the airwaves, lightning bolts, quick thoughts, communications between lots of people, higher learning, spiritual learning, all that stuff is literally what's going on right now. And how it affects a lot of people on planet Earth, particularly our town, is the Santa Ana winds kick up at this time and literally burn the shit down. And it happens every year. So, I mean, you really don't need a psychic to predict half the stuff that really does happen. But what psychics can help to do is pinpoint those exact time frames. Such as a couple of years ago, when I wasn't able to get this information out more clearly, I got some really intense, overwhelming vibes about an earthquake that was going to happen underwater. And literally within about 24 hours, I got home and heard the news about the tsunami in Indonesia and Thailand. So that really sucked. So sometimes it doesn't really even matter being a psychic. It doesn't necessarily fix anything, does it? So what you want to do is predict things, you know, as much as you can, and then act on that intuition. I don't give a shit if some psychic tells you somebody's your soulmate, or this is supposed to happen, or that's supposed to happen because your moon is up Uranus. Actually, your moon can't be up Uranus, but you know what I mean? All this kind of stuff. Planets don't make things happen. They open energetic doorways, vortexes, if you will, and thereby open these kinds of voids wherein you can project your own energy. You can play with stuff. And you can manifest what you want if you know how to focus it. For any of my Thelemic friends out there, people who are interested in the philosophies of Aleister Crowley, also known as the Master Therion, he said things like, love is the law, love under will. He didn't say, oh yeah, do what you want, and throw some spaghetti at the wall and see if it sticks. He didn't say that. He said, whatever it is that you want and that you desire, you still have to focus that energy to manifest it in some way, shape, or form. So don't just think that astrology rules your life, magic rules your life. All these things are tools that we help to understand ourselves, get to terms with our habits, our behaviors, our propensities, as we call it, and conquer them in some way. Use your problems to create the kinds of things that you need to use as ballast to get yourself out of a negative situation. Now, one of the things that people most ask me is, you know, what makes you think you're psychic? Well, what makes me think I'm psychic is that I would come up with some crazy shit and say bizarre things to people. And, you know, they got pissed off because they thought I was snooping in their garbage, or they thought I was reading their newspaper, or they thought I was having an affair with their husband. Like, how in the God's name could I possibly know all this weird details about their life? So I found out accidentally the wrong way that I was psychic, because it really wasn't a very pleasant thing at first, growing up being a child and knowing what people were actually thinking, what they were planning on doing, either to me or to other people. Like, say, for instance, I used to, like, meet kids on the playground, and I would know that they hated me or that they liked me or that they just basically wanted to borrow my really cool crayons, you know, that they didn't really like me, they were just using me. And I would just know these kinds of things. I'd go home to my mom and I would tell her this stuff. And of course, my mom was psychic too, so that didn't really help. My mom just made it worse, actually. You know, we would walk around department stores, and she would point different people out in the store and tell me what illnesses they had. Like, oh yeah, that person is pregnant with a boy. She's having Siamese twins. He's a thalidomide, deformed person, or she's a secret child molester. It was like, Mom, how do you know these things? And she'd just go, well, just look at them. And of course, up till about the age of 12, I thought that was a good enough explanation, until one day we were watching something like the ABC Movie of the Week or something, brand new world premiere on television, never been seen before. And it's just the opening credits. And there's just long shot of some guy's feet walking across the hall. And my mom goes, that's the killer. And I'm like, that's the killer? I mean, you know, it's just the credits, Mom. You know, have you seen this movie before? She goes, no, just look at him. He's the killer. You know, you watch the whole freaking movie, and she was right. We should just, like, look at somebody and just know everything they'd ever done, everything they were going to do. It was really annoying. Of course, so when I was a teenager and I decided to, you know, make the typical foray into mind-expanding experiments and sexual, you know, experiences, it was not fun coming home to look at her beady little eyes scoping me out, trying to psychically read me, like, what I had been doing all night. So it took a special kind of magic to obfuscate my teenage years, as you could imagine. But anyway, it's also bizarre because, like, living in my family is also like living in the Addams family. My dad's psychic, both of my sisters, my nephew, my two beautiful nieces. It's pretty bizarre. And quite frankly, all we have to really do is just sit at the table and just stare at each other. We don't have to say anything. Just look at each other and go, oh, no way. That really didn't happen. I found out my niece was psychic when she pretty much told me where the body of John F. Kennedy Jr. was sinking off Cape Cod when his plane crashed. And she described everything about it. And I was like, oh, so where's John? I didn't tell her who I was asking because I wanted to check this thing. You know, John Dee, the famous mystic and magical sorcerer from the court of Queen Elizabeth I, he always suggested, as other magicians did before him, that you should use a pure virginal female child to obtain the best clear-cut information. So I decided to check this out, and I was asking my niece, whose identity I will protect, of course. Anyway, so I started asking her where John was and who he was with, and she pretty much nailed the whole darn thing. And within 3 days, I did discover his body was exactly where she said it was, which was where I had suspected it was. But come on, getting it from a 5-year-old is pretty impressive, I would say. But anyway, a lot of people go, yeah, you're so psychic. Yeah, well, I think I'm psychic too. Everybody has the psychic gift. And I'd say, yeah, you know, to some degree, sure they do. A lot of people have 2 legs and trip over themselves as well. I mean, just because you have intuitive ability doesn't necessarily mean you're knowing how to use it. And that's one of the reasons why I've decided to come on to the airwaves and add my considerable 2 cents to the conversation, because I would like to teach other people how to do more effectively what I do naturally, and learn how to read the symbols and the signs of what's going on around you. And by learning those signs and symbols around you, grasping them with intelligence and using what I call your uncommon sense, and predicting tendencies that are getting ready to happen so you can pounce on them and manifest what it is that you're trying to do. A lot of people say, hey, I don't believe in magic. And I go, great. So fucking what? You know, like, people write me all the time and they go, prove it, bitch. Come on, prove to me that you're psychic. I can't necessarily. The weirdest thing is, like, you know, I'll just tell people stuff. And if the crazier you think I am, the more often it will happen that you're surprised when it happens. If a psychic tells you, you know, something that you know already in the back of your mind, let's get it straight. They're mind reading. And that's just a trick. Yeah, people in the Army know how to do it. The CIA teaches these muscle reading tricks and things of that nature. But that's not really being psychic. It's being clever, and that's not the same thing. If a psychic really hits you on the head and tells you something really bizarre and you think they're completely out of their fucking mind, and it happens, then you know you really went to a psychic. If a psychic just tells you a bunch of crap that you're already thinking or that you're, you know, suspecting already, you know, please just don't pay for it, for God's sakes. You know what I'm saying? I always tell people, you know, by the time you come to me, we already know your life sucks. You don't need a psychic to figure that out. And you sure don't need to pay a psychic a shitload of money to keep you in a crummy situation. Now, I would like to talk about some kind of serious stuff once in a while. And one of those stories that just came to my notice over here, thanks to Mr. B, my engineer and best friend. We're checking out the story about the Kim family, the James Kim family, the guy who worked for CNET, the tech gadget guy. And I had been pretty obsessed about this story all week. I had done a lot of research on it. The main reason was because, like, around last Sunday night, I kept dreaming of this girl, nobody that I know, named Penelope. And it was just this girl and the name Penelope coming over the dream state. And I was like, God, who is this? I wake up the next morning and find out Penelope happened to be a little girl who was in the car with her family when they got lost on a Thanksgiving trip. So, of course, I felt like, wow, maybe this kid is really trying to contact me. So I did my best to do some research and find out what was going on. And, of course, I hadn't felt too good about it. Interestingly enough, I had my friend do some dream state work, some alpha wave work, and asked him some ideas that, like, what did he think? Because, you know, by the time it gets to me, sometimes, you know, if I'm really interested in a story, sometimes I get just as baffled as anybody else because your emotions come into play. But it was successfully predicted that they would be found, and so far, according to the CNN report, they have been. Except for the dad. So now we've got to find out what the heck happened over there, which is pretty sad. Some of the stuff that I did see was that they were in the snow, and that turned out to be true. Really kind of weird stuff. So I'm glad that hopefully these people are going to, you know, get back to normal in some way. Now, some other things that are going on right now with the full moon energy. As you can see, I just float all over the place. Unless I get calls, and I guess pretty soon once people figure out how to call through Skype and also call me via the regular phone number, they're going to be able to, like, call me up directly and ask some questions. So what is that number, Mr. Engineer? It's 323-284-5116. If you're checking this out right now in some way, hold on one sec. Let me check these particulars. All right, check that number again. It's 323-284-5166. Okay? 323-284-5166. If you call that number, you'll be able to call me directly, ask some questions, and we'll get on with this technological advances of cyberspace. What are some other ways? Also, you can reach me by using the Skype, S-K-Y-P-E, function on the computer, which is the internet phone service. And my my username is Vox Podcast, V-O-X-X-P-O-D-C-A-S-T, Vox Podcast, all one word. You can also visit me at vox.org, V-O-X-X.org, and on my front page, I have all the information as to how to get in contact with me. Also on my MySpace page as well, which is myspace.com/VoxThePsychic. I'm going to be here every Monday night from 9 p.m. PST, Pacific Standard Time, and that's going to be midnight Eastern Standard Time. And I guess it's also, 10 o'clock Central Standard Time or Mountain Time or whatever the hell they call that. Those poor people in Mountain Standard Time, they're so fucked. They never know what time it is. It's so sad. But they should move. Let's get real. But as I was talking about some of the other ideas about the full moon energy, has no doubt brought upon the country of the Philippine Islands this huge typhoon as well. And it's no secret that the full moon really does have that kind of power to create major shifts in the tide. So we send our 11 blessings out to all the people who have been displaced by the fires in California and also the typhoon and mudslides in the Philippines. Now, one of the things that I use the most often is the tarot. And I'm an expert specifically at the Thoth Tarot deck devised by Aleister Crowley, also known as the Master Therion. A beautiful, wonderful, magical deck that was put together by him and executed artistically by Lady Frieda Harris, who did such a beautiful job. The deck is absolutely astounding. And for any of my listeners out there, I'd really urge you to go out and get your copy. I would urge you to go out and get your copy on the new moon or the day after the new moon for the best possible results. I've been using this deck my entire adult life, and it never ceases to amaze me how amazingly on it is. It's just really great. I also have some different forums I'm going to be hosting at Vox.org. I run quite a few forums right now on MySpace. So if you write to me at MySpace, you can get an invitation, because a lot of my forums are closed because I like to keep the Fruit Loops out if I possibly can. And it's been doing a pretty good job. I really love a lot of the people that I've met on MySpace. And I joined up there before it became everybody and their brother getting on there, getting 10 billion friends. But I've met a lot of really great magicians and people like that over there. And I have my space over there on MySpace. It's myspace.com/VoxThePsychic, VoxThePsychic. And I'm going to have a special page put up there pretty soon to do the podcast and my radio show on there too. So it'll be easier for you guys to get a hold of me. Now, I've been teaching a lot of classes recently on the Gaweisha as well. And for people go, what the hell is that? I'm an expert and scholar on demonology as well. I've been studying that for my whole life. Since I was a demon, I figured what the hell, I may as well find out more about myself. But it's a fascinating study. I've been teaching classes on the Gaweisha and the Book of Thoth Tarot, Ritual Magic, and Psychic Development. So you should also check out my Vox.org site and look at my classes that I offer, which actually I don't know anybody that's offering some of the crazy classes I'm offering, all the way automatic writing, ritual, you name it. It's pretty interesting stuff. Now, one of the things I was talking about as well is using the tarot to get information and answers. When you're psychic, it's really interesting. You can hold a person's hand, okay? You can be clairvoyant, which I'm also born clairvoyant. So I see visions. I'm clairaudient, which means I hear things, hear voices. And basically, I guess that means I'm out of my mind. But the only difference between me and a crazy person is the voices tell them to go kill somebody. And mine basically tell me what color underwear you're wearing. So I try to use my powers for good, which is you know, the best way to use them. I try to use them to manifest the things I wish to happen and to better myself and to teach other people how to better themselves and get what they want without killing anybody. Because God knows we don't need that kind of trouble in this world or the next, do we? But a lot of people just vibe stuff. They intuit things. But what the tarot does is it distinguishes the boundaries between what you're just happen to be feeling, you know? The tarot is ruled as well by planetary and zodiacal forces, okay? So you have the planets in particular signs, particular energies manifest in a typical kind of way. So once you know the planetary aspects and the zodiacal aspects and how those energies move with one another, you can get a sense as to what kind of physical reality you're dealing with and how situations can be mitigated. Once you know what a situation is, and you know what you want, you know what you're dealing with, then that's when the magical power comes out. That's when you have to act upon the difference of what you know a thing to be and what you wish it to be, or how you wish that you want it to react. So this is some of the idea about how magic works. Say, like, thinking of the Aleister Crowley saying that magic is the ability to cause change in conformity with will. I know I didn't even read that off a cue card. That's amazing. So what it is you have to look at what you want, what you've got, and what's the difference? The difference is magic and how it's used. You can't beat something into submission, get it to do what you want, okay? Because that's like magical rape, you know? Yeah, you know, there's no real magical roofies, I guess, per se. You know, so you want things to happen in a pleasant way so it can keep happening the way you want it to. If you try to use magic to force reality or to make people do things, jump through hoops, fall in love with you, not only are you wasting your time, you're probably just stupid, you know? And I know a lot of people out there probably right now are getting really pissed off going, how dare that bitch? She's telling me I'm stupid because I just did a love spell on Butthead and he still can't stand me. You know, as I was telling some people in one of my last podcasts, the greatest love spell of all is just be lovable. Save yourself a lot of wax, a lot of candles, a lot of cleanup, a lot of oils, you know what I mean? A lot of things that even Crowley says in Magic and Theory and Practice are about the fact that how it's much easier to go out and get a job than it is to try to do a 2 to 10 hour ritual to manifest lottery winnings. You know, by the way, lottery winnings, as much as I've understood myself and through the words of wise astrologers that are greater than myself, they've always seemed to come to the conclusion that winning lotteries has a lot to do with trines and certain particular planetary placements in a person's chart, as well as good old-fashioned karma. Like, in other words, deserving to win that kind of money. So people that just continue to burn candles and manipulate realities and do magic at the wazoo just to make a few bucks, just, you know, go back to like DeVry Institute or something. Learn a trade. Go out and get a job, for God's sakes. Magic, for those of you who actually have done some, you know that magic is actually hard to do. It's hard. It's hard fucking work. And quite frankly, I probably wouldn't have even bothered to get into it if I'd known how fucking complicated and expensive it is. Jesus. Oh, did I say a bad word? Okay. But you know what I'm saying? You don't know how hard magic is until you try to do it. You stand there and try to do your first lesser banishing ritual of the pentagram, you know, and face the right direction when you don't even know which direction the sun rises, you know. This kind of stuff is like crazy. You know, I'll never forget the first time I did my first lesser banishing ritual of the pentagram. I actually always break this little chestnut out every time I get a new student, because everybody always winds up going, oh my, yeah, I can't figure out what the angel names are. I was facing the wrong direction. I need a freaking compass. Do I need the sword? Blah, blah, blah. And I'll never forget the first time I did it. I was in my mother's bedroom and everybody was gone for the day. And I had the whole thing drawn out. Back in those days, nobody was using computers for magic. It was like, you had to read the book, friends. So I was standing in this dark room, drawing the pentagrams, invoking the angelic names and all the quarters. And promptly at that moment, I mean, I happened to be living in Encino, California at the time. Promptly at that moment, I vibrate the angelic, final angelic name in the north, or which I thought was the north, and all of the lights in Encino blew out. Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh my God, I just destroyed Encino. I was so freaked out. I was like, could not figure out what to do. So I had to scrounge around, found a flashlight, realized I had been facing the wrong direction for all the angels, had said all the names wrong. So I made up this handy thing where I went back to the east quadrant. I used my right hand, and I used it like one of those whiteboard erasers. I just erased the astral flaming stars and went back and started all over. That was so ridiculous. I'll never forget it. But the funny thing is after I did the final Kabbalistic cross and I had done it correctly, all the lights in Encino miraculously went back on. Yeah, exactly. Now, those are the kind of things that can drive a magician, good or bad, completely fucking nuts. Because you can't figure out if you are really the cause by yourself, or if you just happened to fuck up and other shit fucked up with you. I mean, you can never really tell. So you should always try to do your magic as positively as possible and always try to do it within the framework of how it's laid out. Once you can, you know, do everything really well and very comfortably, then you can make up your own damn angels. What do I care? If you want to, like, you know, use a Swiffer or a, you know, a Hoover instead of a wand, knock yourself out. I really don't care. But it's always good to start from some kind of foundation. Even Charlie Parker said you have to learn all your skills first before you throw them out the window and make up your own shit. So that's where I'm coming from magically. I think people need to take responsibility for the information that's in the books and on the web. Now, we'll say, I cannot believe the crap I read on the internet on a daily basis. Now, trust me when I tell you that I read constantly. If I'm not reading, I'm writing. If I'm not writing or reading, I'm listening or playing music. That's pretty much my life. I read everything, and I cannot believe some of the idiotic shit that I have been finding on these so-called magical forums. I just blew my mind. I remember reading some stories where people are claiming to be the Magi who crossed over the abyss, and now he's an Ipsissimus. And if I don't do this, this, and this, I won't be able to speak to him anymore because I will not be an Ipsissimus. And I'm like, dude, you know, cut it out. You're not Crowley. Even Crowley sometimes didn't even want to be Crowley. So what's the deal? You know, these people are just completely moronic. Some other people that I won't endeavor to humiliate, but I'm sure they know who they are. You get the famous pseudo-magus who sits around and pretends he's Crowley or whatever, or some Crowleyan-type entity, and spewing all this bad Middle English or Medieval English with the thou, the this, and the thus spake, and all this crap, and it means absolute nothing. And I'm like, people, save a tree, you know? Save the electricity on your computer and please stop spewing this crap that means nothing. Some of the stuff that Crowley wrote, albeit, you know, it could be difficult for certain people to follow and understand, but if you read the stuff like the Book of the Law, it actually makes sense, you know? So people need to just stop spewing all your psychotic stories on these forums pretending that you have crossed the abyss. People who cross the abyss don't come back to talk about it and brag on MySpace. Let's put it that way. Yeah, hey, so I think somebody has finally figured out how to call me. This person deserves an award of some type. Hello?
Yeah, hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. Who is this?
Talking about Crowley. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. So for all the listeners out there, when they you actually get through on the phone like this Mr. Genius Man has just managed to do, turn the volume off on your computer so we can hear each other. We don't go into like the cone zone or something like that. So yeah,
can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Now we're doing our singular commercial. So how's it going?
It's good. How about you?
I'm doing great. So what are some of the reasons that you decided to give me a call?
Well, first, because you're laughing at yourself when you're interrupting your friend. And that just killed me because I was laughing with you.
Are you sure you weren't laughing at me?
You go, or not. And then he goes, well, and then they brought something new. And you go, like murderers. And then I started laughing. You started laughing. And I was just, you know, I could bug you about, oh, geez. So, you know the Baron. Do you know the Baron?
Yeah, Baron von Samedi, yeah.
Baron. And he asked me, so how did the last season treat you? And I said, well, it was a little of this, a little of that. And then you started in with Jim. And because I usually stick with the Finn, Phineas, Finn Lives, whatever. Uh-huh. And my name's Jim. Back to him. And so you go, Jim, Jim Morrison. And then you go, and then Jim and I. And
wow.
It just really wrecked me. Yes, you got me good.
You sound like a cool guy. I've recognized your little picture. Cool.
So I guess the question would be is, what's with the Crowley? The Crowley, just stick with that rather than any others.
That's a good question.
So you started with that, and then you went, you know, I mean, you're on your own. So when you're chit-chatting with yourself, you...
It's also called schizophrenia. It helps when you have a show. I just try to talk about... I just try to talk about... Talk as if I would to my buddies, because I kind of know how my buddies feel out there, and I just kind of like... Just pretend like they're listening, because they probably are. I'm going to use it against me later. Okay.
I guess the big question would be, why the Crowley Tarot rather than someone else's, of what the full moon in Gemini is?
Okay, well, the third house rules brothers and sisters, communications, short trips, things of that nature, okay, in general. And whenever the full moon is in a particular sign, it's going to completely overdose the emotions of the natural qualities of that sign. So say like full moon in Gemini will get people communicating, speaking, deciding to go out of town on a whim, catching up with old friends just like we're doing right now.
Right.
And talking about intellectual subjects, because Gemini is ruled by Mercury, the god of magic, god of communication, the god of, you know, all interconnectedness.
I think I have a Gemini with a Mercury. I'm May 24th, 1970.
Yeah, so you are definitely a Gemini.
I am just before midnight on the 24th. So, what was it? It was like 11:50.
Do you know what your rising sign is?
I think it might be Mercury. It could be Jupiter.
Technically right now, some stuff that would be going on in your life, Jupiter just entered Sagittarius.
Oh, yeah, huge.
Which is the opposite sign of yours. So it wouldn't surprise me if you're having some difficulties right now with your money situation and communicating with people and kind of just trying to refigure out what the hell you're doing.
It's on the other side of that? Because I've been working for the past 4 years on communicating with people,
mm-hmm.
and I'm trying to get a professional career going. And what has happened is, do I want to be personal, or do I want to be up to a committee? And so I write screenplays, and that's a real committee-oriented area.
Oh, definitely.
And what I'm thinking about doing is I'm thinking about pulling that back and becoming a novelist, to where I take all the screenplays that I've written so far
and novelize them.
Yeah, and novelize them to where I can expand on it and make it real personal for 3 or 4 people who are going to be in control of where I want to go.
Exactly. And see, this here is the way that your intuition is starting to work. As you were telling me this, I pulled the 8 of Discs, which is the sun in Virgo. Virgo rules the hand and rules writing, and specifically screenplays, things of that nature. Now, because you want to be in control, and you're tired of people telling you what the fuck to do, the novelizing of your already written works is the absolute great idea of the day. And you didn't need a psychic to tell you, because you could intuit it for yourself, but I'm backing it up for you. And that's a great, great idea.
I appreciated it, yeah. I was told that by the Baron. Baron was like, screenplays, that's so committee. And
yeah.
Then I said, well, my wife's been bugging me about writing novels. And he said, oh, that is exactly where you need to be going.
Yeah, because once you make enough money with publishing, which, by the way, you will, because I can see that pretty much now that you're pretty clever about what you're doing. And Geminis won't do shit unless they can, like, make it work. They don't exactly. like working for other people. They don't give a fuck what other people say. Now, they like to chat and they like to gather their information, but they don't like subjecting themselves to that kind of scrutiny. They just don't like it. And so on those levels, you're going in the right direction intuitively. And I have a lot of respect for the Baron's words. I always read his little blogs, and he's a fun guy. He's got a really great sense of humor. And I think it's really cool that he was able to tell you that as well. Now, the cool thing is you have a very bizarre, kind of quirky personality. And, like, if you can get that out with your dialogue in your books, like maybe some stuff like Chuck Palahniuk, who wrote Fight Club.
Sure, I know. It's Palahniuk, actually.
Yeah, because I'm not quite sure how to say it, but I guess I was in the ballpark, I guess.
Oh, it's... he was... His grandma and grandpa were named Paula and Nick. And they went to the graveyard after they'd passed away, and they were sitting there, and they were looking at it, and they said, "Dad, are you serious? This is Paula and Nick, and that's our last name, Chuck Paul and Nick." And
that's hysterical.
"Yeah, you're right, son. Yeah, so it's Paula Nick."
Well, that's totally true.
Yeah, I've really been a big fan of his, and
well, see, I'm psychic.
He touched me on a creative level to where those things really started to add up. And it's really, yeah, that's where I want to go. You know, Fight Club, there's nothing that even touches that on a movie level. And that's really led me toward the writing.
Definitely. Well, you're definitely in the right field. Even if you go to a bar and you just sit in the corner and you just take notes. And you don't want to turn out like, you know, Jack Nicholson in The Shining, you know.
All work, no play makes Jack a dull boy?
Yeah, like 3,000 pages of it. I was like, oh my God, that is so fucking scary. And it was like all
the
neatly
scariest
typed.
Movie. Yeah.
You know. So what else is going on?
No, that's awesome, Box. It's really good to talk to you. So well, I'll call you back next Monday.
Okay,
And I'll have my headphones so that I can hear you. We can socialize a little bit and then... You can do what you want with the show.
Cool. Well, once you hang up, I'm going to give you my little 2 cents on the Crowley deal. So, hey, thanks a lot for calling, Jim, and definitely keep in touch and write to me at vox@vox.org. And let me know how things are working out for you.
I will. I'll stay in touch.
Yeah.
For sure.
Cool. 93, my friend. Bye-bye.
Hey, and one thing that I noticed that you don't have is on your playlist, when I go to listen to the music, I don't have, or when I go to listen to the audio cast, I don't see a little picture of your new icon. I really like your new icon, and I'd love to see that every time I connect on Monday night.
Cool. I'll work on that. Hey, thanks for the tips.
Yeah, sure. I'll talk to you soon.
Cool. 93, and have a great night, James.
Take care. All right.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was cool. My little MySpace buddies. And I always do think it's really important to actually like look at the people that you add when you're adding them on MySpace. It's always a nice touch when you can really feel like you're not just on MySpace to market crap. Because I tell you, honestly, I'm not. I'm on MySpace and other stuff like that to like meet people and to discuss things with them and to share ideas, which is really cool. Now, Jim asked a really great question. He was talking about, why is the Crowley deck the best one? Why do I exclusively use that one? Well, what I didn't let you know, my actual first deck, which my mom bought me, was the Rider-Waite deck, the famous one done by Pamela Coleman Smith, and it was put together by author Edward Waite, who Crowley just hated with a vengeance, by the way. Anyway, it's this what we now call the standard kind of deck, and there's a couple of other versions of that deck, the Rider-Waite deck, and I think it's a baby's first tarot deck. You know, you crack that one out, and after that one, I tried getting into the French Marseille tarot deck, and it was just too rigid, you know, too boring. Sorry, Marseille. Some of the old Italian decks are really cool, but again, they're just kind of stuffy, you know. But once my mom actually bought me my first Thoth deck, she bought me all my first decks, which I think is really cool. And I actually still have all the decks I've ever had. There's about 3,000 freaking decks. And they're worn to nubbins, I can assure you. They're like putty in my hand. They've been used so many times. The first tarot deck, the Thoth deck that I got, was the big oversized one. And my hands are really, really tiny, like a 9-year-old's. And I could barely cut the damn bastards. But so finally, they made a smaller deck, and that's the one I've been using for a long time. Now, the deal with the Crowley deck, you could get the Golden Dawn deck if you wanted to, but again, it still doesn't have the vibe, that really cool, as I call it, Kabbalah madness kind of vibe. What Crowley did on the cards, it's remarkable. He created the reality of the family balance. Now, what I mean by that, he created the idea of the princess, the prince, and the queen, and the knight. So you have Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the eternal family, which is a bit different from the regular deck where you have the king, queen, and the jack. So the jack in the normal deck was split into two to create the prince and the princess. In the Rider-Waite deck, the page is still the page. But Crowley's the one who diversified it and created the element of the family, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the father, the mother, the son, and the daughter. And it works really, really well. Now, he also has, just like the Golden Dawn where he learned this, he has the planetary aspects on the cards at the top and the zodiacal sign at the bottom of each card plus a name, such as maybe the Lord of Abundance or things like that on the bottom. He also took that from the Golden Dawn group. But the cool thing about Crowley is he actually mirrors the ideas of the Kabbalah and the Tree of Life. And it's hidden symbolically in the shapes of the geometry. It's hidden in the background colors of such cards like the Eight of Swords, which is Jupiter and Gemini. Jupiter and Gemini sounds so great. It's like, wow, the planet of expansion and the sign of communications. Wow, that's a lot of talking. Wow. But what Jupiter and Gemini is it's called the Lord of Interference. The Eight of Swords is a fucked up card. Now, how can Jupiter, this great planet in Gemini, this fun sign, suck so bad? Well, Jupiter gives it an excess of information. And Gemini, being very small and tiny and micro-organized, does not know how to filter all that excess energy, and therefore it becomes a complete clusterfuck. And therefore, it's rightfully called interference. If you look on the Eight of Swords in particular, you'll see this dark purplish blue-violet color, and you go, what does that have to do with interference? Well, those are the colors of Jupiter on the one of the queen scale in the Kabbalah. And so when you have these kinds of really intense, subtle references to go by, what the Crowley deck does is it stimulates your psychic energies. It stimulates your third eye and your crown chakra to putting this subtle information into verbal terms. So therefore, when you're dealing with the Crowley deck, you're dealing with a hell of a powerful deck. And I actually really don't even suggest people get it unless they're really planning on learning how to read it properly. Now, I'm not spamming, but I am telling you flat out, you want to learn the Thoth deck with a pro, with somebody who's literally read over 1 million people. I sound like McDonald's. You know, you would sign up for some classes and learn the intricacies of these cards in a way that would really boggle your mind. And it's not just the cards themselves, it's the way in which they interact, and it's the combinations which speak volumes. I can get so much information out of just one card in the Crowley deck that just doesn't speak to me in any other deck, so it's really great. So, what else are we going to check out today? Let's see. We're talking about some of the Thoth deck, why it's really important. I've been teaching a lot of classes with that recently. And for those who would like to learn more about that, you can always check me out on MySpace and my Book of Thoth forum and email me and tell me that you're serious about studying it, and I'll let you in. Because there's so many people just picking up a deck of tarot cards and thinking, you know, they're speaking to the aliens. I'm like, please, give me a break. Besides, the aliens don't use tarot cards, nor do they need them. How do I know? You don't want to know how I know that. So we got Jim, the intelligent, amazing, genius Gemini person who was able to figure out how to call me in. And so you guys, we have a few more minutes here on the first show on the radio. And you can call in and get your questions answered. And I'm sure the longer we stay on and stuff too, more and more people are going to find us. And it'll be even more fun to talk to all kinds of people out there with all the crazy questions that they have. So 323-284-5166. You can also write to me at Vox, V-O-X-X, at Vox.org. You can also reach me at my MySpace. But it's always best to write to Vox.org because that's pretty much where I'm living nowadays. Doing lots of weird little blog stories on stuff that I find timely and informative and interesting. And what are some other kind of fun things that have been happening lately? Yeah, I've been getting some strange letters from people today in particular. Somebody wanted to know if I could read a photograph and just tell by looking at these two people if this guy was this woman's soulmate or not. What do you think I said? Basically, I could say yes or no if I wanted to, but I really don't think it's fair to just look at a picture and just, you know, get verbal psychic diarrhea and just spew some crap with no foundation or basis on what I'm saying. So what I like to do, one of my methods, and even on my other radio shows, was to get a person's birth date, the month, day, and year, their first name, if they could remember it, and going by that, and just pulling a few cards based on that person's astrological kind of fingerprint, and going to town on that. So I was telling this lady, look, you should really just give me the birth dates, and then I'll see what I can tell you. But just looking at a photograph, it's just so lame to think that a person could tell you somebody's your soulmate or not just by looking. What if you were having a bad hair day? I mean, the psychic might be inclined to say, no, do not marry this person whatsoever. So I basically told her, look, you know, here's how I really feel about it. By the time you have to ask, is somebody your soulmate? I can save you a lot of money right now, okay? The answer is probably no. Why is that? Because people that are insanely in love and just completely happy and totally resonating with their partner don't usually have the time nor care to spend the money to ask a third party what they're thinking about somebody they don't even know. So that's something that might save you some time, energy, and money right there. If you're in love, you know, that's a good sign. You know, other things that were a bad sign on this one letter was that this person had not even heard from this guy in 2 years. And she said two other psychics said that she was going to marry this guy and he was her soulmate. I'm like, who are you talking to? What are you, you know, Ernie from Sesame Street or something? It's like, and how can more than one psychic say something so stupid as, you know, this person's your soulmate, but, oh yeah, by the way, he's not going to speak to you for 10 years. And he's never even going to bother to look up your phone number, and he doesn't care what you're thinking, and you'll never see him again. I mean, so how is this supposed to be your soulmate? Come on. Magic and psychic phenomena is no excuse to be a moron. That's what I say. You know, so read it and weep. Break out your tarot cards. Learn how to use them. Learn how to use your numerological faculties. And if you don't know how to do numerology, trust me, next week you will, because I'm going to teach you how to do it. It's not just about spewing out what I think the answer is in life, okay? Because it is just a particular place where I happen to be standing, and that's just my particular viewpoint, my psychically informed viewpoint. But I encourage people to start paying attention to your intuition. Look around the world. Try to see what the signs are. Try to make sense of them. And for heaven's sakes, you know, open a book, for God's sakes. I mean, there's no excuse to be stupid these days with the internet, with lots of really great source books. MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, actually has a free library where you can go online and learn all kinds of cool stuff. So don't just like read the gossip columns and just make, you know, decisions based on the story of the day. You know, take some responsibility for the crap you put in your head and the information that you use in your life. It's never really been a better time to be an artist nor to be Wiccan, pagan. There's so many great resources now on the internet for us all to come together and speak and have a great time. So if you also find yourself getting lost on some of these forums where there's so much hatred and magus posing and ipsissimus bashing and all this kind of crap, you know, we just don't need it. What we need to do in a pagan group is come together and like chat. Hang out, talk, you know. I'd like to also start up some real physical events, like maybe even new moon and full moon get-togethers, where a lot of us that can get together can meet and share some real magical energy with one another and get really good currents to start happening, because I think that's really what's needed right now, especially in the magical community. So anyway, in closing and stuff, I just want to let you guys know, again, that you can always write to me at Vox, V-O-X-X, at Vox.org, And you can also visit me on MySpace, myspace.com/VoxThePsychic, VoxThePsychic. I have lots of friends there, so feel free to send me a link and say hi and add yourself as a friend. I'm pretty cool that way. And also feel free to ask me to join any forums or any advice about how to get together with some magical groups and magical individuals in your neighborhood, because I have lots and lots of friends out there in the universe, and I'm always glad to hook people up with one another. So anyway, in closing, maybe you guys should send in some letters. They can be about anything you want. Magic, Goetia, how do I conjure a demon? What do I do when he gets here? Goetia is always fun. Seals, sigils, magic, chaos magic, you know, Wiccan, rituals, candle burning, incense, gematria, Enochian, whatever the hell you got going on in your crazy little mind, I probably know something about it, and I can probably at the very least direct you to somebody who knows it even more than I do, and to some great books that you can read and some great rituals to protect yourself. So I'm going to sign off for today, and I'm really glad that Jim was able to give me a call, and it was a real pleasant surprise, and I look forward to hearing from all of you out there, and keep in touch. Let me know how you liked the show. And all the radio shows will be podcast and put up, so you can always listen to each week's show. And depending on how quickly we can get things moving, who knows, we might even add more days of the week to our show. So anyway, I had a great time talking to you guys, and I look forward to hearing from you guys this week. And until then, have a mystical, magical day.